on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show right here on Pulse 1, taking a look at all things rugby league from around the world. Now, tonight in the studio, I'm joined by Luke, straight out of surgery, probably still on painkillers, so might say anything. Robinson, Luke, to say a hey.
Hey, hope it all gets sucked.
And joining us is also the Bradford Bulls' new wonder boy, Mitch Clark. Mitch, give us a kia ora, bro.
Kia ora, bro.
There we go. I got to admit, boys, you got to understand, because there's a Kiwi in the house, my accent may change from time to time. I'll go away from being the normal Robbie Hunter Paul and turn back into Robbie Paul, bro. What do you reckon? All right, this Sunday, actually, later on in the show, we're going to be speaking to Halifax front rower Luke Ambler. And talking about facts, this Sunday we have two of the championship's big boys facing off against one another. Halifax will host Lee Centurions this Sunday at the Shay, and we have a family pass, which is two adults and up to four juniors, to give away tonight for that match. So to win, all you have to do is answer this question. Name the Super League head coach that started his career as a junior at Leeds, cut his teeth in the Halifax first team before joining the Bradford Bulls and finishing his career at St. Helens. Finishing his career at St. Helens. A bit long-winded. He's kind of related to Luke Robinson in some way, shape, or form. Not actually physically related to him in genealogy, but...
polar opposites when it comes to looks.
Yeah. You can email your answer to www.pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at Pulse One Radio.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
I just said producer Ewan, look at me, because he's used to me saying, this is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, and that's his cue to do the buttons, but I'm testing him tonight. Robbo. G'day. He's a bit nervous, ladies and gentlemen, at home listening. He's a bit nervous at the moment because I don't know if you follow him on social media, but you've got to have a look at the picture that he posted, I think it was on Friday.
It might have been, yeah. I'll be honest.
He can't remember.
I'm losing track of days.
We're going to repost it, so have a look at Pulse One. At Pulse One Radio. I'll get there in the end.
Is it you that's had the op on me?
Yeah, I'm on the painkillers. So he's flying a little bit at this point in time. But I've got to admit, you know, we were talking about it before you went in on surgery, because obviously you've been carrying a lot of discomfort, put you out of sorts. But actually, after the operation, how do you feel now?
I'm flying, Rob. Yeah, like you say. Obviously, I'm slightly nervous, but just purely because I've been taking... Well, I've been morphined up for about a week. And,
it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's,
no, we're not going to. It's a family show.
It's a family show, yeah. So I won't go down that route. But obviously been on the morphine, and now it's kind of cocodamol and all them types of tablets just to keep me the pain off me a little bit.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand that Luke's gone that extra mile this week to be with us on the show today. He was walking up the stairs, limping up the stairs this evening. I think he's put, for a little bloke, you got a big blurter on you. You got a big backside, haven't you?
Oh, that's where power comes from, like an horse.
All the power, like an horse. apparently he's turned in his stairwell, and he's clipped the side of the banister right on where you've had the operation.
Yes.
So you've had to swallow a number of painkillers just to make it here with us tonight.
Pretty much. That's my dedication to you, Rob, and the show.
Well, you say your dedication to me, but it's actually you've called your dad over from Wakefield.
Yeah, we're poor.
He was giving me a guilt trip. You know, this is what I've done to make sure that this show goes ahead.
My dad works in Wakefield. He's had to rush all the way over this way, pick me up, drop me back off. It's a little bit like, I suppose for mum and dad and wife at the moment, it's like driving Miss Daisy, you know, the film. I'm just sat in the back all the time with my leg up like a queen. Just
complaining,
a king.
Though? Dave, does he complain when you're driving? Is he trying to tell you how to drive?
He damn,
yeah. Well, hey, you know the pecking order in that house. And we've got with us, like I said before, Bradford Bulls' new wonder boy, Mitch Clark. Mitch,
Robbie.
Mate, you know you've got all this to look forward to. You're only 22 years of age. You're a donkey yourself. That's a front row, ladies and gentlemen, for those. He's obviously going to be, like we were just saying before, a future Super League coach, because that's part of the job description, isn't it?
We'll see.
We have to be a front rower. But, I mean, you've had a few, obviously, you've played collision sports since you've knee-high to a grasshopper. You've had your injuries already. Do you just accept that it is a part of the game?
Oh, definitely. You know, take what you get. They're going to happen, but, you know, hopefully they don't.
In your position as a front rower, though, you want to be dishing out the pain, eh? Not receiving.
Yeah, I try to. In the fairest way.
In the fairest way, because this is a family show. Guys, what a weekend we had this weekend. I mean, especially with some of the games that we had. When did you go under the knife, Robbo?
Thursday. But to be honest, I came round and it were a perfect tonic because I got to... My wife were a little bit jealous, I'll be honest. I've just been sat in this nice private hospital getting 3-course meals, cups of tea on tap. And I had Sky Go, so I'm watching the rugby, so I've been watching. I had Thursday night,
I'm
Friday night.
Look at your wife.
Thursday
we're
night,
jealous.
Friday night. She's like ringing up complaining, saying, kids have had me up all night again.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll be
driving
honest.
Driving her mad. I'll be honest, I've had two lots of morphine. I've watched rugby. I've happy as Larry.
Just push the button.
And... A steak. I've had a steak, jelly and ice cream.
And rugby on the go.
And rugby on the go.
We caught the game on Thursday night between Salford and Warrington Wolves. And what a game it was. Salford are starting to look like they are the real deal. Mitch, I'm going to ask you. You obviously, you're new to the game in the UK, the Super League, etc. You would have seen Salford's performances last year. Over the last couple of years, they've bought big, but they've underperformed and they've ended up languishing at the bottom of the table. From what you've seen so far this season, do you consider Salford a true threat for their top eight position in the Super League?
Look, from what I've seen, they're killing it. Like big Benny Murdoch played a bit with him back over in Oz. And
is that where, did he come from, Penrith?
He was at Penrith before... Tigers, he started at the Tigers, but he left, came from Penrith, and he's been killing it.
He's been a real find, hasn't he? I mean, he's blowing me away because I got to admit, I knew absolutely nothing about him before he came to the Super League. But in these opening 3-4 games that they've played, he's turned that right side into beast mode with Bobby Louis. I'm going to call him Bobby Louis from now on because it just sort of rolls a little bit better. You got Louis on that right side. You got Murdoch Masila. Carney, it's like beast mode down their right hand side for them, isn't it?
Yeah, he's massive and he's just killing blokes, get out of the way style. And same with Carney, he's just beast as well.
Yeah, they're throwing people over. But I've got to ask you this, though, Robert. I've got to ask you this. Because you've seen teams over your years and you've played forever, it seems. Over your years, you've seen teams have brightenings in these opening rounds. Last year it was Wakefield. I think they won the opening 3-4 games undefeated, and this was the round. And within, I don't know, a couple of months, they had sacked the coach. Is this a new Salford?
I still don't think they're maybe ready to win something just yet. I don't think they're far off, but I think what's happened at Salford is obviously being very naive. Marwin Kukash has just basically said, I'm going to buy the best 13 players. But the best 13 players doesn't mean the best team. You know, you've got to have your workhorses, your donkeys. You've got to have a nice mix of players, each doing their own role to get the best team. And I think that's what Salford are this year. You know, they've got rid of Rangy Chase and all that. Let's be fair, if you put them up one by one individually against the team they've got this year, they'd probably let better players go. But for the actual team dynamics and the way the team wants to play, they're actually a better team.
You're right. It's not just about having the best players on the field, it's about how they complement one another.
Of course, you know, you have, you know, through history you've looked at the game, you might have a running halfback, you have an organising halfback, you have a kicking halfback, you have a ball playing one. You know, they each have attributes that contribute to the team, and I just feel like Salford are just trying a quick fix of buying the best players, and it's only now with Tim Sheens and obviously the setup that they've got at the moment, they seem to be bringing in players that, rather than just buying the best players, they're buying the best players that fits their team, fits their style of rugby. But that didn't happen overnight, so I think although they've made a really promising start, it's really good for Salford, I think you might see the fruits if they continue this maybe next year or the year after.
You know, it's interesting to look at it in that dynamic as well, because you got to think about your traditional Big Four teams and traditional Big Five teams. There's a lot of injuries in those squads also, so maybe they're going up against, yes, they are playing better, and I think there's no argument there, but they're also going up against teams that haven't got the firepower, and what they've had in previous years come this time of the year. I got to go back to it though, because Warrington did win that game. What a drop kick from Chris Sandow.
Oh, sensational. Do you know what as well, when the public watch something on Sky, sometimes you don't realise the conditions that we're playing in. It looks rosy, it's nice, and you've got a cup of tea, you're watching in front of your fire, it looks lovely. it's only sometimes when they've got certain camera angles you realise how bad the conditions are. Just to catch the ball, never mind to come off his left foot and then strike it so sweet. It was just an amazing drop goal.
He was on the back foot as well.
Yeah.
He came off his left foot, beat the man on the inside, and then had to straighten and kick off the back foot.
Yeah, and the wrong side, you know, when you're a right foot, what you try and do is you try and get
and
your donkeys to the left-hand side post because it allows you to drop the ball across your body. You can just hit it straight off. No second movement. They actually got to the wrong point because he's a right foot. Yeah. They got to the right post, which meant he had to come back off his left anyway, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. made it even more difficult. That's what probably more amazing than anything else is the conditions, wrong side, wrong post, but still struck it so sweet.
Well, as you know, your go-to players need to come up with those big plays, and Chris Sandow, that's one of the reasons why he's been brought to the club. He's got to come up with those big plays at the right time. And as you can tell here, Mitch, we do pick on the front rowers because, you know, this is a halfback's club, so you're going to have to stick up for yourself every now and again. All right, thanks, boys. After the break, we'll be scanning the game for its hottest topics. We'll also hear from Wakefield Trinity Wildcats owner Michael Carter on Brian Smith's shock resignation as head coach. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, 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 West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening right here on Pulse One. Now, this Sunday, Halifax go head to head against the Lee Centurions, and we have a family pass to give away tonight for that match down at the Shea. Now, to win, all you have to do is answer this, what I think is a simple question. Name the Super League head coach. There used to be a donkey, related to, but not not from a genes point of view, not actually
definitely
related
not.
to Luke Robinson. Started his career as a junior at Leeds, cut his teeth at Halifax, went on to be a superstar for the Bradford Bulls, and finished his career at St. Helens. Now, you can email your answers to pulse1.co.uk /RHP show or tweet us at pulse1radio. All right, so who's that? Who is it? Okay, yesterday's breaking news, Wakefield head coach Brian Smith has stepped down from the position, and this is what owner and chairman Michael Carter had to say on the matter.
Brian Smith tendered his resignation as of yesterday dinner time. Basically, Stuart Dickens has agreed to take charge for Friday. A search for a new head coach commences as of yesterday. I actually got a text message from a CEO of another club asking if I was on the lookout for a new head coach, which came as a bit of a surprise, really. So I texted him back saying, "I don't know what you're going on about." And then within an hour, I guess, Brian just walked into the office, said that he was terminating his contract and walked out, and that was it. So yeah, I was I guess a little stunned, and that was it. That was simply it. By his manner, you could tell that this wasn't a decision that was going to get changed. He was terminating his contract, and that was it. So we've had a frosty relationship since Christmas. And for those reasons, they will stay with me. If Brian wants to expand on them, then he can do.
Well, what can we say? Well, actually, before we go any further on this, I just want to say our mate Lee Gilmore, who was one of the other assistant coaches, he could have been given the Super League a Super League coaching job, but once again, the powers that be have decided another donkey, Stuart Dickens, is going to, come on, tell us, what is the special recipe about front rowers? I mean, Robbo's got his own theory behind it, and I want him to share it with us. But what is it? What's special about front rowers in coaching? Come on, share it with
us.
I
guess that's just where all the brains are. You know?
Let's listen to Robbo's theory on it.
I think that basically CEOs, if you know, for example, if me and Mitch walk through the door, if they see me and they see Mitch, they look at Mitch and think, right, intimidating, he's going to get the respect of the boys, they're going to listen to him, hard line. They look at me and think, They're going to ridicule him. They're going to throw him out the room. They're not going to listen to a word he says. I don't think they really have any idea, don't the board members?
The structure. What actually goes on
that field and who gets a rocky up the backside if they're not doing the job.
It might be another thing on top of that also. If I don't give Mitch the job, he's going to beat me up. But I reckon I could handle myself with Robbo.
Probably could
just
as well.
Pure, it's personal, physical fear.
Especially when I walk in with my limp now as well. I could take Robbo.
Okay, but I'm back on this. Obviously, last week we saw them letting go Chris Chester. He was the first Super League coach to feel the axe. This is a surprising one because it's not the point of him getting axed. It was him that chose to axe himself. Is that surprising or not?
Do you believe that?
I do.
Do you really believe that?
I do. I mean, from what I know about Smithy, and I worked with him 20 years ago.
Oh, I thought about Chris Chester, sorry.
We're on Smithy. We're still on Wakefield. We'll move to Chris after this.
Knowing what personnel, I worked a little bit with him at England with the assistant, so I didn't... When somebody's an assistant, you don't get them fully. You get them a little in little dribs and drabs, and it's not their ship that's they're sailing. So they offer themselves a little bit. So I don't know him fully, but knowing him as much as I do, I could imagine it definitely being his decision and him deciding that this isn't working for me. I'm going to leave.
Yeah, well, if you actually go to the Wakefield Wildcats Twitter page, you'll see that they've posted the full interview. It's a 16-minute long interview, and about I think 3 or 4 minutes into the interview, someone asks a question, and he says, "Well, actually, the relationship between him and Brian since before Christmas has been a little frosty," and he uses those words. And I think if you're a head coach, you really need. And vice versa, the coach needs to buy into the board needs to buy into the coach, and unless that marriage, that recipe isn't working right, then I can fully understand how such opposing and powerful ideals can actually help things to cannibalize from the inside out. So it's understandable. But this early, this is the thing that surprised me. You know, we're only 3 games into it. I can't see Wakefield getting too shocked because they, as Michael Carter goes on to say, he felt that they've got the nucleus of a good team there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that myself. You know, we're a little bit, you expect this in football. You know, you lose one game and you panic and you sack someone, then they lose 2 games, so somebody else comes in. But in rugby league, we've kind of had a little bit of a culture of, you don't get too much time as a coach. You know, there's not much longevity being a coach, but you at least get a third of the season or a quarter of the season to sort of get your squad together, get them gelling and actually showing what you can do with them. But yeah, if it's come from, this is the difference though, it's actually come from Smithy. It's not come from the top. So Wakefield haven't chose to get rid of their coach at this stage and are worried about the team and where they're going. I'd probably be more worried it's the coach that's worried. You know,
say something in its own right.
Yeah, if I were a Wakefield fan, I'd be very despondent at this moment in time because when it's coming from within, it's not, you know, it's not coming from the top. It's coming from especially somebody with the experience and knowledge that Brian Smith's got. He's saying either above him's not being run right or below him in the playing personnel's not right. But either one of them two, if it's not being run right, it's obviously bad for Wakefield.
Well, obviously, I mean, I think that's setting the tone of it all. Also, I mean, you've got to find a working recipe, don't you? You've got to find a working recipe. Now, just on that, we did mention Chris Chester, first Super League coach, feel the axe. That was last week. Obviously, Brian Smith stepping down. Willie Poaching stepped into the gap as a short term, but now the role of interim coach has gone to former Wakefield boss, who was sacked last year, James Webster, as an interim coach. Now, I find the term interim coach interesting in its own right. If you're going to give the guy a job, you've got to give the guy the job and throw your full weight behind it. What are your thoughts on that? Because, I don't know, you know, when you've had your backside handed to you for a number of years, for last year, and then you lose your job, it can knock your confidence. And when the team's confidence is running low, like what Hull KR's is at this point in time, you would expect, is he the right man for the job?
I don't know. Obviously, only Hull KR know that. You know, they know the ins and outs. It seems like they've really tried to, there's been a massive conscious effort, I think, from OKR to change the ways, not only on the field, but off the field. And that coincided with bringing Jamie Peacock in. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think this has been a rush decision. I think this is something that's, from, you know, I'm only guessing, but from the way I see it, something that's been going on for a little while. They really wanted to change the culture at Hull KR and everything that goes with it. I think that's why interim might be in there, because I think, especially now JP's involved, I think I'd be looking at, from a broader scale, looking for a different type of coach to come in and lead the way.
Mitch, what are your thoughts on, you know, would you prefer, as a young player, would you prefer an older coach or someone that you can more relate to as a younger coach?
Basically, I'll just like someone who's good with talking, you know, like someone who has confidence in you, but it doesn't matter if they're age, as long as like you get along with each other and, you know, they give you good advice. But basically, I don't have a preference.
Are you at that point in your career now? You just want to, you're like a sponge, you want to suck up
as
much information
as I can and just take whatever they can give, you know, advice. But, you know, old coaches, they're old ways, and new coaches are trying to find ways, but, I guess, just knew, you know.
All right. Thanks, boys. Up next, we'll be speaking to Halifax's front row forward, Luke Ambler. We love a donkey on this show. Ahead of their match against the Leeds Centurions. All that and more coming up after the break.
Big names and big stories from the world of V-League. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hello, everybody. RHP here, and I'm live with Luke Robinson and Mitch Clark. This Sunday at the Shea, Halifax, two of the championship's big boys will face off against one another. Halifax will be hosting Leeds Centurions, and we have a family pass to the match to give away for free tonight. Now, to win, all you have to do is answer this question. Name the Super League head coach that started his career at Leeds, then went on to Halifax first team before joining the Bradford Bulls and finishing his career at St. Helens. You can email your answers to pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or tweet us at Pulse One Radio. Now, on this match between Fax and Centurions, we have the ultimate donkey that I love this lad. He's a Halifax lad through and through. It is none other than Luke Ambler. He's live with us on the line. Luke, how is it going, buddy?
Good evening, Beth. You all right?
Very good, very good. Thank you. How are things travelling at Halifax at this point in time?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've lost three of his first five games, so we're bitterly disappointed. But, you know, we've still got loads of belief behind the scenes. We know we're not far away, and, you know, we're going to stick with it. And it's gets no easier with a big challenge against Lee this weekend.
Now, you guys finished finished the season last season absolutely flying. Is it just a case of just not getting up to speed with the combination and everything at this point in time?
Yeah, we've got a few new players, and as missed opportunities have been massive this year. You know, we're making line breaks, coming up with 6-7 scoring opportunities and just putting ball to ground. And once we start being able to click and get them combinations right and start putting them points on board, you know, put it in good stead, and we'll get right back up there.
A close, a bit of a tough loss against London last weekend. How did the team pull through?
Yeah, obviously we've got a few injuries, you know, a big one in Scott Morrell, which is a big one for us as skipper, and Ben Kerr took a knock to head, so, you know, we'll probably see how he's going this week. But Scott's the big one with his finger, which we'll miss, and, you know, there'll be some changes in there. People, you know, we've got quite a big squad for a part-time team, and people fighting for spots, so it's going to give someone a chance this week to really lay a marker down.
Now, it really is. Now, obviously, you've just spoken about it. It's only a matter of time before you get it all together. Halifax and Leeds Centurions have been two of the big boys in the championship probably for the last decade. This is the game that you would pinpoint as that game to try and get you swinging back in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And things haven't been going smoothly for them. You know, they've had a lot of off-field problems and fully shown a bit on the field. You know, they haven't had... The results haven't been as good for them as it was last year. You know, last year they started season 5-5 and they were killing teams, where this year, you know, they started slow, and like against yourself, they just took a draw in last minute, and Sheffield last week managed just to come back into the game, although they got results. So they're not blowing teams away like you'd expect. And on paper, obviously, they've got a great team, but stuff just start quite clicking. So that's one game, you know, we've put down that, you know, we really want to put a marker down for ourselves, and it's a really good chance this weekend for that.
Now, you're expecting it to be an exciting game, a well-attended game. You've labelled it the Calderdale College Clash. I think you're opening your doors to all the Calderdale College students and their families to come along. Is that part of the uplift for you guys actually when you're going out there to play in front of a big, busy crowd?
Yeah, obviously that's the main reason, getting them down there, trying to build the crowd. You know, that's what we try to do down there in a variety of ways, and that's just one, and it's hopefully going to be a fruitful one. The other one, reason being that, you know, obviously Scott Morrell's the captain of the college team up there, and with the new RFL Embed the Pathway, we try to get more kids who might not be heavily involved in rugby involved, and start trying to get some talent, Halifax talent, back into Halifax. If you look at yourselves at Bradford and over at Huddersfield, there's quite a lot of Halifax local lads playing in them teams, so there is a lot of talent in Halifax, and it's just about trying to get them back through. And if we can use the college for that, we use the college sort of as our academy before as reserves, and you know, it's a massive plus for the club.
Well, Luke, thank you for being with us. It sounds like it's going to be an extremely exciting game this weekend down at the Shea. Thank you very much, mate, and good luck this weekend.
Top man, thanks for having me, buddy.
No worries, and that's where we had Halifax's front rower, Luke Ambler. Robbo, you're a Halifax lad through and through, proud.
Yeah, mate.
And he's right in what he's saying. There's so much Halifax talent out in the Super League, in the Championship itself, but really, you know, they want to see all of their world class, and we're talking world class talent coming back home. That's what they want, isn't it?
Yeah, there's talent all over. You know, you look at our squad at the moment. I think out of 27, there's six of us that are from Halifax. We're Halifax based lads, you know, and you know, like in Salford, there's Niall Evolds, and Bradford here, you've got a couple of Halifax lads. So the problem for Alex is obviously they haven't had a second team or a scholarship system that's been good enough to keep the lads there. Obviously, yeah. Like when Wigan came in for me at the time, it was a choice between Wigan and Halifax. The facility.
Yeah, but you were 9 years old.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
you were there. Good.
But it was the difference in Wigan's setup compared to Halifax. The scholarship, the facilities, and everything else was just worlds apart. Whereas. Mm. For us to keep our best in Halifax, we need a scholarship system, we need a youth system that's prepared to invest in the youth, and fingers crossed, because I really want Halifax to do well.
Mitch, you played against Halifax last year. Are you surprised that they haven't been performing as well as they did in towards the back end of last season?
Yeah, look, what are they, 3 from 5? Five from five last year, and when we played them, they spanked us, so... They're a strong side, and I believe they'll pick things back up.
Yeah, do you think it's only a matter of time before they start playing well again?
I think they will, yeah.
All right, it was interesting because we mentioned Lee Centurion's there, and Luke himself, he mentioned the off-field issues that they've been having to deal with. Bradford Bulls have been identified on Ryan Briley's hit list of clubs this weekend. Apparently, he handed his notice in last week, and the club is activating, or he is activating a clause in his contract stating if Paul Rowley leaves the club, so can he. I think the Lee Centurions have sent out a warning stating that they have their legal advisors looking into this and will move to make all legal proceedings against any club that steps over the mark, and they will explore all legal angles to protect its interests. I think that's some heavy words there. He has to be attractive to many clubs, wouldn't you say? So many clubs have injuries to the halves. Look at Huddersfield. He's got to be... I mean, I think Huddersfield have been one of those clubs that have been mentioned alongside Ryan Briley's name, along with Leeds as well.
I think it would be daft if he wasn't. You know, the injury, like you said, the injury crisis that us and Leeds are going through at the moment. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to anyone, but we would take anyone at the moment. If you can half play rugby, come down, get a child out at Huddersfield, because
especially in the halves.
Especially in the halves, because obviously I've retired. You know,
Jamie Ellis
has broke his collarbone. He's out for 10 weeks. I think Kyle Wood's coming back this week, but he's been on a long term. You know, Cruz Leeming's only a young lad at the moment. We're decimated, and, you know, it'd be daft for us to not look at quality players, but by all accounts, I think it's crazy that his chairman doesn't know what's written into his contract. Mm. He seems to come out with all this, oh, I can't believe he's got that written in. When did that get written? Like he magically put it in, just slipped in as he was giving it him back. But Yeah, by all accounts, you know, Robbie Paul's been ringing him on the phone for the past 6 months, bending his ear, getting him to, look, get that clause of your contract.
They've got this saying, because obviously I used to play for the Leeds Centurions, and we've got this saying at Leeds, it's called once a Latha, always a Latha. Yeah. So you always got, and I got to admit, it's interesting for me because I'm on the Past Players Association list. I get a lot of the dialogue and the he said, she said going on at the moment, and it's whipping their whole town into a frenzy. It's absolutely incredible. It's an amazing thing that sport.
It kind of feels like as well, though, it's these two sides, his agent and his Briley, that are trying to create this sort of doubt against the club. And then you've got the club that are trying to come out, you know, and the coaches, let's go on Jeremy Kyle and let's have a lining change. And it feels like everyone's just trying to turn everybody else on everyone else. It's fascinating to watch from the outside, but I'll be honest, if I were a Leeds fan, I'd be thinking this is no good for our prospects again.
Yes, exactly. And especially the way that the season started so rocky, and there's comments coming out, there's it's becoming clicky in the group, you know, because you've got all of these high-paid, high-profiled athletes that come across. And obviously, the core of that team has come from out of the Championship.
Yeah.
These are guys that were doing a 9-to-5 only but a couple of years ago. So you can imagine that their contracts wouldn't be world-class contracts.
No, of course they won't. But what's having me been chuckling all week is the voice of reason at Lee has been Gazzock. He's been coming out with tweets and everyone's saying, good on you, Gaz. Well said, you're the voice of reason at this club. And
you play with Gaz, so you know exactly what he's like.
Well, I grew up playing with Gaz, you know, at Wigan through the youth, but literally there wasn't this voice of reason, a one word spelt right. Not one word. Well, I couldn't stop laughing. I think someone one of the press people call it Gareth Ott the Wordsworth that he is. But yeah, you know you're in trouble when Gazzock's the voice of reason.
Well, I mean that saga is still yet to play out. I think he's handed in his notice. He's got a month to play on the notice, and we're going to have to see how that plays out over the next 3 to 4 weeks. But I don't think we've heard the last of it. All right, coming up after the break, we'll discuss the hottest matches of the week ahead, and we'll also decide who will be taking home the family pass to this weekend's Kingston Press match between Halifax and Leeds Centurions. All that and more after the break.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show, and we are continuing on with all the hottest topics in the sport, and we'll also look forward to the hottest matches of the round. But before we do, let's find out who won the tickets to the massive championship match between Facts and Lee Centurions this Sunday down at the Shea. And the question was, named the Super League head coach that started his career at Leeds, went on to Halifax, went on to the Bradford Bulls, and finished his career at St. Helens. He's related to Luke Robinson. He looks exactly the same as Luke Robinson. One big, one small. They're exactly the same, but the exact opposite. And related to Luke Robinson, obviously I meant his coach, Luke Robinson. Luke Robinson's last coach. Head coach for the Huddersfield Giants, it is none other than Paul Anderson. And we have a winner. Congratulations. Chris Holroyd will be in touch with you, let you know how you can pick up those tickets to that massive game. Okay, before we go on to the hottest picks of the round, boys, I just wanted to bring up that other point. Salford will have to defend their salary cap actions for both the 2014 and 2015 seasons. So obviously that was brought to the forefront about a month ago. The trade rags run with it, saying that Tony Pulitua and Tony Pulitua's case, for example, he was getting paid off the books, so to speak, off the rugby league books, and getting paid by one of the companies related to Dr. Kukat. Your thoughts on that, you know, salary cap, you know, you had your own ideas on the salary cap,
Robbo. I'm thinking about passing
you. You're going to a bit of trouble.
Don't get me going on that again.
We can get Mitch into a bit of trouble.
I'm thinking about passing you a spoon. Aren't you involved in this as well? Weren't Bradford and Robbie Paul involved in the
not Robbie Paul.
Salary cap? Not only involved in Briley, getting him over, getting him out of his contract. You're not getting Salford fine deducted points.
No, I think
Robbie Paul.
No, what it was that it was brought to the attention by the Bradford Bulls owner, Mark Green,
right,
because he was asking for a little bit of transparency from the governing body.
I understand his point of view. At the end of the day, look, if I found out players were getting paid in other means apart from the salary cap, and I were on the opposition board or CEO, whatever you are, you'd ask questions. That's not fair.
What Mark Green was doing was he was asking for a little bit of transparency. I think the interesting thing to look at here, though, if there's been salary cap issues for both the 2014-2015 season, I think the 2014 season is where the key is because I think the highest punishment you can get is like a 20-point deduction. Now, if that had happened and there was a 20-point deduction back in 2014, actually that meant that they would have been relegated from the Super League.
Is it my understanding now that this is it's live now as a salary cap? So
yes.
Why wasn't it live then? We just basically made adjustments because, let's be fair, when I was at Salford at the time, Wigan were going to get relegated. Mm-hmm. They were dead set bottom. They basically bought Brian, coach?
Noble.
Brian Noble. They got Stuart Fielding, and they got Dobson in. And basically they just thought to themselves, we're going to bring in loads of players, survive this year and take the hit next year.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable to think that we're still... After all that happened,
I think they got docked 6 points.
Yeah, it was because we then Salford managed. We were sixth at the time. We got fifth for that reason because they got deducted the points.
So you got pushed up the ladder.
But surely, when that happened in the rugby league, when that happened all them years ago, I think that was 2006. Why did we not make the salary cap live then?
Mm.
That just mind boggles me.
I think the fact that the salary cap came live, it came in with the new structure. It came in with the Brit, and you know, there was a whole number of new things that they could take to the broadcasters and say, this is what it's going to be, and this will make the competition better. This will make the viewing spectacle a lot more entertaining.
Right. Well, I just think it has to be live because basically, you know, clubs are just going to sometimes say, let's win the league this year, and we'll take a 6-point deduction next year. But going back to Salford, they just seem to have got their act together on the field, don't they? Mm-hmm. It feels really disappointing from the coaches and the players' perspective that something might be getting taken out of their hands. But at the end of the day, look, now I've finished playing, they aren't the first person. He ain't the first person to get a brown envelope. I've said this numerous times before. Players and clubs in the past will find ways and means.
I never got a brown envelope. I heard about these brown envelopes, and I'm disappointed. My whole career, I played for 18 years. I'm still waiting for my brown envelope.
Well, I was thinking about asking Ken, look, could you just give me my wage packet? Give me the exact same, but just give it me a brown envelope, just so I've had one time.
I think my wife would like that. Hey? If you don't see it into the bank, you know, you go straight into the back pocket.
But saying that, look, you know, if Salford have cheated, and if they get caught, they deserve to have a points deduction.
All right, well, that's still to play out. The RFL will now take it to tribunal. I think they're going to have a look at it, and we'll see how that evolves. It's another one of those things we're still going to have to wait and see to see what is going to be the finish outcome there. Okay, the first game I want to look at this weekend, and we're just discussing it off air, is Batley playing host to the Bradford Bulls. Now, Batley, the Bulls had a game postponed on the weekend. They were riding high in the championship, sitting on at number one. But because they had the game postponed, Batley won on the weekend. That took them out on top. Points difference, for and against. I'm going to throw this question to you, Mitch. Last year, the Bradford Bulls went to Mount Pleasant and got surprised, had to come from behind to actually steal the win. What's the mindset going into this game? Because we know Mount Pleasant is not an easy place to go and steal some points.
Yeah, they call it Mount Pleasant, but it's not pleasant, nothing pleasant about it. It's been a massive week so far, and we're just going to try and go there with our best attitude and just try and get the win, yeah.
Having the game postponed on the weekend, giving you an extra week's preparation, is that good for you?
Yeah, I think it will be. They say we've had the weekend off, but we've had one of the toughest weeks for a long time. So, it'll be
good.
Why
do coaches do that? They just like to flog you, don't they?
Yeah, I know. But, it should be good test, having the week off and leading into it. You know, everyone's ready.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend. Mitch, obviously, you're going to stay with us for the rest of the show, but it's nearly finished. Good luck this weekend. Continue to fly that flag as the new wonder boy for the Bradford Bulls. You hate that. Look at it. You get so bad. It starts physically rushing. When I was his age, I said, yeah, go on, pour it on me. I love it. Let's have a look at the Super League picks. First up, Widnes versus Hull FC. One of your best mates, Kev Brown's killing it at the moment, leading from the front.
To be fair, he's been an exceptional player for Widnes. You know, obviously, I think they had to pay a lot of money to get him from Huddersfield. But he deserves them big bucks. He plays well, does Kev. He's the heart and soul of that Widnes side. You know, everything revolves around him. When he plays well, the team plays well.
Do you not think he now should get a look in at the international berth? I mean, next year is the World Cup, but this year is the last four nations, the last time to have that preparation. He's got the experience. He's been to finals. He knows how to play the game. He leads teams around the field. Shouldn't he get an opportunity to show his talent?
I think one thing that I suppose, you know, getting a new coach that's not been in the Super League, you know, in Wayne Bennett, he's going to have a bit of an unbiased perspective of how everyone plays, and if he deems him worthy enough to play. I don't think people go nuts all the time saying we need blood some youngsters through. International rugby is about winning, and it's about winning now.
You're right.
I don't care. I don't want to win in 5 years. I want to win now. And you don't blood people through internationally. You pick the best players who are on form, and if Kev's on form, pick him.
I like it. We nearly got a Robbo round there. Okay, for the following night, Wigan are going to play host to the Leeds Rhino. It's got to be all on Wigan at this point in time. They're at home. They've got a slightly healthier team than the Leeds Rhinos. All Leeds Rhinos, do you think?
No, I think Wigan. Personally, I just think the clientele, the players that they've got missing at the moment, Leeds is unbelievable. They're all internationals. Yeah. It's crazy when you look in, when Skype pan up to them and they just all sat there. It's like, wow, they're not an amazing team. So no, Wigan for me.
Mitch, what about you? Leeds Rhinos or Wigan? Wigan, yeah, are at home.
I go with Robbo, yeah. Wigan as well, yeah.
And the final one I have just to have a quick talk about is Catalans at home to Wolves. Catalans got the win against Wakefield last week. They blew Wakey off the park early doors, but then they came back.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think the Wolves are a different side, especially without Gidley. I think he's got a lot of guile, leads them around the field. If Gidley plays, Warrington are a good team, but it's hard going to Catalans, I'll be honest.
It is hard. Mitch, what are your thoughts on that? Catalans at home to Wolves, they do play, they could take the game to another level.
Yeah, Catalans at home for me.
Absolutely brilliant to have you on the show, Mitch. Once again, Robbo, thank you for making the sacrifice.
No worries.
And especially your dad also. Big thanks to you, wherever you are listening tonight. Total Access is next here on Pulse 1. Enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.